Hey, man.
Ola. Talk to the same time. Jinx, buy me a soda.
Ooh, I want a Coke Zero, please.
Do you drink Coke Zero?
With my Jack, I do.
You don't just drink Diet Coke?
No, because it tastes different.
Yeah, I think I've always been just such a Diet Diet
Diet
Coke
Quake?
loyalist. That's what I was trying to say. Usually once I'm a loyalist, I usually don't flip. Especially when they bring out new stuff all the time. It just annoys me.
Well, see,
But I've heard Coke Zero's good.
Coke Zero is good, and it tastes like Coke, or pretty close to Coke, where you can always
I've
tell that
tried
there's.
it and I think I like the nice aspartini taste of Diet Coke.
Oh yeah, no, I'm okay not drinking Diet Coke if they have Coke Zero.
I
100%.
can't, that's funny. I stumbled across an article the other day. You know how everybody talks about how McDonald's Coke is the best Coke out of that fountain? It's a reason. It has to do with their setup and their like extra syrup and shit like that. It's like they do it on purpose to get you
No,
addicted.
and on top of that, the way that their straw is made is also
Oh, the
part of
bigger
that
straw?
equation. Yep, the
Yep,
bigger
yep,
straw.
yep, yep,
Which,
yep.
by the way, like, yeah, their Coke is crack for sure.
It's like because I'm just so used to just Diet Coke, I don't even get regular Coke when I'm at McDonald's.
Damn.
It's just so automatic. But the funny thing is we don't really drink soda here. I'll have one a day, but most of the time we'll drink like Hansen's with dinner or something like that. And even if we back in the day when we used to go out to restaurants,
When
I
was
would get
that?
like an iced tea.
Yeah, the only time I ever drink soda in the house is if it's mixed with Jack.
Just like soda.
Just, I mean, I like it. Don't get me wrong. I like the taste of soda, but I only let myself drink it when I'm drinking the
Oh,
Jack.
that's so funny. We changed the line of that quote in that movie for so long to Chris likes soda that I almost forgot what the original line is, which was Gilbert likes soda. Because it, go ahead.
I hate that there are times where some things have been so inside for so long that you're like, where the fuck is this from?
Well, Chris likes soda was it was changed because in the 90s there was a kid named Chris Thompson that used to roadie for the band Spine Shank, and he was friends with them, and I don't know what started it, but it turned into Chris likes soda. We just changed it to his name. Okay, so this guy's name was Chris Thompson, right? And when, sometimes Spine Shank would go on the road with Static X, and Static X had that song, D Wisconsin Death Trip. And one of the lines on the song that Wayne would scream was, get up on this Wisconsin death trip. But sometimes when they were on tour with Spine Shank and Chris was in the crowd, he'd go, get up off this Chris Thompson death trip. And he'd say Chris Thompson instead of Wisconsin.
That's a pretty good mix.
Back in the 90s. That was 30 years ago.
Yeah. My friend Jose sent me this. I guess Hulk Hogan was supposed to be on SmackDown on Friday. Now, mind you, I don't give a shit about Hulk. I don't give a shit about Hulk Hogan since he was racist and all, but they were celebrating the 33-year anniversary of when he lost the title to Andre the Giant on Saturday night's main event. The reason why that's key is that that was the night before we took the test to get into high school.
Dang.
So 33 years ago. Yeah, that's I'm like, thanks, dude. Thanks for always remembering these things that I completely forgot about. To make me feel really old.
Speaking of feeling old, there's been these TikToks going around lately, more geared towards women, saying that apparently the side part is out with the teens. Like they think the side part is the equivalent to the old guy comb over, the bald guy comb over. It's all about the center part. And apparently skinny jeans are out, and that's like an old thing. And all the teen girls right now are wearing like, straight leg baggy mom jeans.
No, come on, really?
Oh, I shit you not, because I keep in touch with one of my girlfriends from high school, me and Jen and my girl Stacy. We have a three-way Snapchat group going on, like for the last year or so. And we were talking about this because we were trying the center part and stuff, and we're like, you know how many years my hair's been doing the other one? It's trained, you know? I'm like, yeah. The other day, I'm like, I look like Weird Al Yankovic with this when I have a center part.
Yeah, I don't know, man. The center part's weird. I don't even do the center part on Little Home Slice. Like, I always do it off to the side. Like,
but start looking around at, like, social media and the girls see where they're parted. Anyway, my friend Jen and I don't have any kids, but Stacy's got 4. And she's on her last kid in the house who's 13, just turning 13. Oh, she goes, oh, yeah, tell me about it. And she sent us a picture from Target. She goes, these are the jeans I just had to buy my daughter. High-waisted, acid-washed, almost like fuller in the thigh jeans.
So basically anything that doesn't show off like the fact that you might have a figure and makes it just look like.
Well, they'll wear smaller tops up top, you know, and let baggy in the bottom. But I told Stacy, I said, doesn't it piss you off that you just could have saved all your clothes from when you were teenagers and your kids would have worn it again? It would have been vintage and you would have saved money. Yep. And she said, yep.
And you would have looked like a fucking superhero. That's crap. I reject.
Oh yeah. Okay. Oh yeah. So the side parts out, skinny jeans are out, and the crying laughing emoji with the tears is out apparently because nothing's that funny all the time.
Wow. That's sorry, kids.
I can't believe how skinny jeans are out. I was like, skinny jeans just have to be classic at this point, can't they?
Right. Like at this. I mean. I don't know. It's like when low-rise jeans kind of like went out of style. I'm like, what? Why? Like, those are so comfortable. Like, I don't understand.
For guys?
Yeah, for anybody.
Oh. For women, it went out of style because nobody likes the muffin top shooting over the top.
Okay, then buy a size bigger then.
Well, then they fall down because we don't wear belts. I don't wear belts.
Nobody wears. I don't get how you chicks don't wear belts, man.
Because we have hips. That's what hips are for. Hips keep our pants up.
But they don't lie.
And that's true. They don't. But they keep our pants up.
I don't know, man.
But anyway, I saw another TikTok was like, well, this is the generation that was eating Tide Pods, so.
Oh, yeah. That's true. Never mind. and vaping like cereal. Things that taste like cereal.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Good luck with that.
Yeah.
Don't you're our future.
Right? Oi, oi, oi.
Oi.
So I was like, what's going to be popular by the time your little home slice is like 10 years from now, a teenager?
Oh, God. I don't even want to fucking know. Well, probably skinny
it'll
jeans.
Go back to skinny jeans. Yeah.
Skinny jeans. Skinny jeans and crop tops, and everybody's looking like Gwen Stefani. That's what I'm going with.
That's funny. How's your week been? What's up with you? What's going on?
You know, it's all right.
This weekend.
This weekend's been chill AF, you know. Oh, is AF out too? I'm not really sure.
You have any interest in the Super Bowl?
No. No.
Commercials? Halftime?
But the problem, here's the deal. Like, those things that you just mentioned besides the football could easily be seen on YouTube later.
Yeah.
So... No, and honestly, I don't care for any of the teams, and I'm not going anywhere to somebody's house. Like, normally if I go to somebody's house, you kind of get wrapped up in it. You know, like, it's not like I don't like football. It's just, you know, when
so you won't even have it on?
No. Probably
no.
Not. No.
So, for the first time, my radio station, one of my radio stations does this football thing every season. It's not a whole fantasy league. It's just picking games each week. And listeners get to win prizes, but they encourage the crew to play just for fun. And I've never played before because I don't watch football. I don't care. So this season, though, I got my sister-in-law to help me because she's a big football fan. And in their house, they play this game anyway every week where they're picking which teams are going to win every game that's going on for the week. So she would just send me every week. She'd send me a picture of her sheet and all the games that she picked. And I've been playing her picks all week, all year long, and I've been ahead almost all week long, or I mean all season long, with the exception of like 2 weeks ago, one of the other guys got 15 out of 16 games right for the week, which is crazy. And he was up for like 2 weeks, but now I'm ahead going into the last game. But the last game, if you get it right, is worth 16 points. So it's like anybody, like the top 4 people are within that range. So if whoever gets it right is going to win it.
Oh,
And we don't win anything. Just bragging rights.
I was going to say, I'm like, what's the cash on this? But
not for us, but for the listeners, $500.
That's still a decent amount of cash.
And then, like, every week, and for the listeners, there'd be, like, whoever won did the best for the week, they got a gift card, and then they would pick an artist, and we would play that artist 4 times a day for them all week long.
Okay.
Like, whatever artist you want. Somebody trolled us hard and picked Yoko Ono. So for a week, my classic rock station, we played Yoko Ono, like, at 8 o'clock hour, noon, 5, and 7, just one song. But it was pretty funny. My programmer's director's like, we can't do a whole. She would take a song and just like cut it in half. She'd be like, minute and a half, play a minute of the song, that's it.
We're
don't
done.
Play the whole thing. We'll scare people away.
It's like, hey, remember that station you used to listen to? Nope, I'm gone.
It was pretty funny.
Enough, Yoko, enough.
It would have been funny, yeah, for somebody to pick, like, you know, Backstreet Boys or something like that, too.
But at least somebody guilty would be in the car, like, you know, singing along with it because they know the song. But ain't nobody singing along with Yoko.
I tried to find, like, some cover songs that she did or something.
Oh. All I remember was the song that Kevin Embiid would play that basically sounded like she was a wounded dog having an orgasm.
Or say you're like a dying cat. Or she sounds like fighting cats. Yeah, that's all her songs.
Yeah, that's... I'm going to be honest. If you're a fan of hers, how do I put this lightly? Go fuck yourself.
I can see how you could be a fan of her artistic freedom.
Okay.
But not actually, you know, maybe of the art itself.
So don't punish my ears for it. Then paint something or you know.
Well, she did all that shit too. She did all that shit.
Do that stuff.
She tried to be one of those.
Don't take it out of my ears.
Well, I'm just not listening to it. Except when the winner trolled us and I had to listen to it for one. I only had to play one song a day during my shift. So for a week, it was funny.
My stomach.
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
How's your week been?
Uneventful. So yeah, not watching the game either. Cause I don't really care. I haven't watched one besides being in this football thing all season. I haven't watched one game anyway. me and some friends are going roller skating. We've been meeting up, like, at the tennis courts because they have Groms, and the kids bring their skates or scooter or whatever, and at the tennis courts, you just, you know, let them run wild while we skate. So we've been doing that on the afternoons and the weekends, so we're going to go skate this afternoon.
Cool.
We're gonna approach the subject of inviting more people.
Oh.
Well, I know there's a... Skating has gotten real popular again, and I know there's a bunch of our old Derby Girl friends that are skating again. It's funny because just this Friday night, I'm laying in bed and I get a video from one of my old Derby girlfriends who I love of her and her sister who played Derby and her daughter, and they're roller skating down in Slow. It was like 8 o'clock at night. They had masks on. There were a bunch of people there. Not a bunch, like a handful or maybe about a dozen or so. I guess one of the Derby girls has started a open skate Friday night things and just on any skates you want, you know, quads, inline, whatever, just come out and skate and have fun. It almost looked like an ice skating rink, but people were just roller skating. Everyone was just, you know, and I'm like, that's super cute.
Yeah,
she's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm in bed. But I'm like, well, we've been meeting on the weekend afternoons. And she's like, let me know. So, like, that's we have to funny. Decide if we want to open up our group to more people or not.
Such skate elitists.
Yeah. I mean, it's outside and, you know, if it gets that many people, then, you know, wear a mask. And I mean, at least it's outside and, you know, you could skate away from people. I mean, I got no problem shouting at you from 10 feet away.
That's kind of a good idea, though, if somebody like made a skate rink that was just outside and you basically took the premise of what you were doing inside with music and just did it outside. And had
the
a
problem
DJ and
is,
stuff.
It's like all the fucking skate rinks around here have been repossessed by pickleball courts.
Oh.
All the places, all the parks we used to go to that used to have a designated, like, it was usually basketball courts or like a hockey skating rink or roller skating rink, you know, because hockey would use it for a long time. And then like we came along and now they've all been plowed over for freaking pickleball courts. There's only the only place that has one is SLO because they kept it hockey, skating and basketball courts. And then they have an actual skate park next door to it, like the cement bowls and all that stuff. It's okay. Like the skate park in SLO. But yeah, all the other parks have fucked it up.
Asshole.
There used to be a skating rink in Morro Bay years ago in the 90s. I mean, like, fucking punk bands used to come play there in the 90s. The kids that lived here are like, oh, yeah, we saw NOFX there in the 90s or whatever. And I think we went there once and then it shut down. It's been shut down ever since. The thing is there's an RV park across from it, okay? So the property is the same. So if you buy the skating rink, you have to buy the fucking RV park.
Oh, funny.
And so somebody bought it later on, closed the skating rink, and was using it as like a event hall. And then I was like, recently I was like, what happened to that place? I went and Googled it. Now they turned it into batting cages. It's like, oh man, you fucked up that floor probably.
That sucks.
Some fucked up shit.
Lame.
It's very sad. It's very sad. So yeah, none of the skating rinks, even the one that were restarted, the Derby League, that one doesn't exist anymore.
There's
No, that was just at the event center, but they closed it down. Couple of years ago, like probably about 10 years ago.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
Well, since there's a resurgence, maybe people will start like opening back up.
You know, that's the thing, but it's almost like the bowling alleys, you know, they're more valuable for the space that they could chop up and turn into four shops. I don't know, like, but people aren't shopping anymore. So yeah.
I mean,
can we have our space back? I mean, totally operate a roller rink. That would be badass. Does your Grom skate? Does she have skates?
No. She scooters.
That's cute.
She scooters. I've been trying to get her to bike, but every time she gets on her bike, she falls off, and then she gets like annoyed by it.
Over it.
Yep. So at least I've talked her into like I had an old like Razor scooter from like way back in the day, and so she was using that until I got her own scooter for Christmas.
Do you guys have bikes? You and your wife?
Yeah, no, our bikes are
so
dope.
I was gonna say, like, if you're like, okay, well then we're gonna go for a bike ride since you don't want to go. Bye.
Right. And our bikes are dope too because they'll fold and we can just stick them in the trunk and we just drive them.
Ooh, that's cool.
Yeah. So I just need her to kind of brave up on that. So then that way we can put them in the trunk and take them places.
Is she okay with training wheels or not interested even with that?
She's on training wheels, but she has
not interested in dumping them yet.
No. She would rather sit on the couch and watch Troll Hunters, which is a Netflix show.
Have you seen the trailer for the new Tom and Jerry movie?
I just saw a clip of it. I haven't seen the whole thing.
How the hell are you going to do a movie with characters that don't talk?
Oh, you know that they end up talking nowadays. There's no way that
they talk now?
I mean,
this trailer I watched, they didn't talk.
Oh, okay. Because I was like, I'm assuming that somebody had gotten over that and just made them talk.
But I remember they did at one point.
Yeah.
I did not know they were back. So I don't know if they're communicating verbally or not. They're just fighting all over the place in our world.
I think it's on it'll be on HBO Max, I think. Well, maybe.
Yeah, not interested.
We'll just add it to the list so we can torment you with it. Hey, Grandma, watch this.
Ugh. On that note, let's start this show and tell people what's going on.
All right, let's do it.
Uno, two, tres, four.
Yo, it's the Goody Squad.
Hey, everybody.
What up?
Episode 93.
I was going to say, I have a spreadsheet now, so I can keep track. I knew it was 93.
Oh, look at you.
I know. Episode 93, the Goody Squad, Sheba and Mr. X here in the house.
Hey, girl, hey.
Hey. Coming at you kind of the same, but a little different.
We're gonna
catch up with each other at the beginning like we normally do, because that's pretty much the only time we talk during the week, except for sending videos and memes and shit back and forth. Oh, the TikTok ones. Oh, did I send you that one this morning? There's one, but I sent you this morning with Jane Elliott.
Preach, girl. Yeah, she broke it down.
Yeah. But instead of being all over the place, we have narrowed it down to one thing. We're going to discuss one main topic, one thing only. And we've decided, after a lot of things in the air, movies.
Movies. The one thing that we can agree on, movies.
Pretty universal. What we decided was, you know, I mean, we agree on a lot of things. We like music. We like toys. We like a lot of shit the same.
Yeah.
But what I like about the our movies, the way we see them, is that Mr. X is a movie fan, where I think most movies are crap and a waste of my time.
Yes. So this will be a very good social experiment, considering how much I love movies and you do not.
I like movies. I just like good fucking movies.
No, you like your movies from your specific time period is what you like.
No, that's not true. Mm. I fucking loved Parasite. I loved Heredity. I love new movies that give me something different. And my thing is, I think 85% of the movies out there are the same or have been done before.
Well, yes,
that's where I'm coming from.
Of course.
So anyway, you're going to get two very broad spectrums, you know, but our taste is quite similar.
Yeah.
So for now, you know, we're just kind of filling each other in on, well, hey, I've been wanting to watch this, or I've been wanting to watch that. And if we haven't seen it, we'll throw it on the list and we'll watch it together. But point being, I was going to say, if you have a movie that you want us to watch and you want our opinions on, hit us up. We'll do it, because we ain't got nothing better to do right now.
Nope.
How they hit us up, Mr. X?
So for now, our main social media central location is Instagram. Those of you that follow us already, cool, because you shouldn't miss anything. But we have changed the branding of all of our shows and the whole network from being from Art Hurts, which was kind of the idea that kind of sprung all of this, to be more centralized again around the Goody Squad. So if you look up the Goody Squad on Instagram, you'll find us. Also, if you go to thegoodysquad.com, which I've purchased, that will lead you to the same place. So
fabulous.
Hit us up there. We'll be giving you information of what our movies will be. If you have any questions or anything, shoot us up. And it's kind of the reinvention of the Goody Squad podcast.
Get us on the gram.
Yep. Get us on the good foot.
So this week we are watching a movie. It was interesting because my dad actually sent it to me. I don't know, like about a month ago, he just sent me a, you have Hulu? You must watch this. And I'm like, okay. And it was a totally random name, never heard of it before. And I think we watched it a couple days later and we were kind of blown away. So then I've been telling other people to watch it. It's called Derek Delgadio's In and of Itself. And it's on Hulu Network.
Hulu.
So is that
how your dad hit you up? He was kind of like, he didn't explain anything?
He just sent me the screenshot.
Okay.
Like I sent you.
Okay.
Of like the title card. And, yeah. All he said was, you must watch this.
That's funny, because that's exactly the way that I've been sending it to other people is that way.
Because you can't really explain it to people, I think.
Nope. Nope.
And if you did, I don't think it would do it justice.
Yeah, I mean, you can try and explain it, but then I think you're just going to shortchange what exactly it is, whatever it is. So, yeah, don't explain it and just go watch it.
Yeah, it's on Hulu. So I know that you've watched it a couple times now, and I wanted to, but I didn't want to do it till after we talked about it, because I wanted to come from the perspective of just watching it once.
Okay, all right.
And not trying to dissect it too much.
Gotcha.
So
I went looking up this guy when we decided to
Eric
make this.
Delgadio.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So apparently he's a local boy. He's from Huntington Beach. His occupation is mostly listed as a performance artist, writer, and magician. He was an artist in residence in 2014 at the Walt Disney Imagineering Department.
Ooh.
he's consulted on movies that have that kind of stuff, like The Prestige.
Magic?
Yeah, and he's going to be releasing a book later this year. He's won Magician of the Year in 2011, 2012, and 2016. So it seems like his premise or his background is in magic.
Yeah, I think that's I think that's also labeling it too much, though, because what you're going to watch is a stage show, an off-Broadway production in a very small theater that ran over a course of, I want to say, like 3 years or something. They had like 300 productions show.
I think it was more than that. I think it was closer to 600.
Oh, wow. So double that. but what they've done was put it together in a great way. They've edited it together, I think, to give you a lot of people. I did read some articles about the show afterwards. Okay. And a lot of people that saw it were like, how are you going to put this into a movie? It's such an experience there. But they actually did a really good way, because they actually edited a bunch of different multiple audiences together instead of you just seeing the reaction of one audience. And I think that was a viewpoint you definitely couldn't get from one show. And I appreciated that. I thought that was way cool.
Yeah. And there was this specific times in this thing where you can tell that they're cutting, because they're obviously, you know, like when he asked for someone to come up, he's asking for, you know, this person. So should we explain like how the experience that people were having, like in regards to coming in and having to pick the card off the wall sort of
thing? Yeah. Yeah, so that's how it started out. We don't want to give too much away, but that's important. So yeah, it started out with, so the whole show, along with it being a little bit of magic and you know, in this small intimate theater, he was a storyteller, and it was also a kind of about experiencing who you are, or you know, the theory was kind of like there's more to a person than just one thing, which we all kind of knew that, but this explores it in a really cool way. So when the audience came in, before they even got to the theater in the lobby, they were met with a wall of cards. Just white cards of black writing that said, I am, with a bunch of different choices, A to Z, anything you could think of. And they were asked to pick one card, and they handed it over to an usher when they walked in, and the usher compiled all those cards and put it on a desk for the artist, Derek, to come out later on, which he incorporated into the show. Yeah. And that, I think that was playing into the whole, you know, what do you think you are? And then, you know, there's a lot of other ways people see you. So you're seeing this stage show, but it's also storytelling and very audience interactive.
It's almost and like very autobiographical too, because we get a lot of footage of him growing up as a kid.
True. You know, yeah, he's telling his story, and we're all relating to it pretty much, as well as the people in the audience.
Right.
I almost don't know, you know, what else do you want to add to it? It's like, I don't want to give too much away. Here's something fascinating. It was directed by Frank Oz, which I thought was great.
Frank Oz, and it was produced by Stephen Colbert.
Oh, yeah, I think I did see that.
You know, it's funny. I'm not really sure how to take this, only because obviously we're giving our opinion of this thing, right? Now, are we ruining it by talking about it? I'm not sure, because essentially that's what we'd be doing if we were talking about a movie anyway. We'd be breaking it down. So so he basically starts with this story of when he was traveling abroad, where this guy called him the Ruletista, and kind of explained the story of this guy who would play this Russian roulette game, and he just would never lose. He'd roll the dice every night, and he'd put the gun to his head and click, nothing. And he put in more bullets and more bullets, and he never died in that scenario. He ends up dying later on in a different scenario, which I won't even explain that part. But so on the stage, there's like six squares that are cut out of the stage. Each is holding like a different theme kind of thing. So there's one that's got a bottle of bourbon. There's one that's got a gold brick, breaking through glass. One is like kind of like the old timey letter holders. What's the other one? There's the Ruletista up in the upper left-hand corner. And there's the wolf and a scale, right? And these are things that he'll go and interact with during the show as the story progresses.
Yeah, I feel like kind of almost each box represented a different story he was telling in his life.
Yeah, yeah. And so I think the one that was the most touching one, I guess, would have been the gold brick, which, you know, he talked about his mom and how he found out his mom was gay, and the story of how when kids started to find this out, you know, they would tell their parents and their parents wouldn't let them play. And then one night someone threw a brick through their window, causing them to move, which was really sad, especially since he was, you know, as a kid trying to figure out, like, you know, when he'd had friends come over, he would hide all of the things that would show that his mom was gay. Cause he, you know, he just wanted to be normal. Not knowing what normal is. So it's,
I hate that word, by the way. I try not even to use that word in my vocabulary anymore. Normal.
I mean, I don't know what other word to use in how he was feeling, but, you know, he definitely wanted some normality.
He wanted to not be picked on.
He definitely did not want to be picked on. So the story goes on. He centers around certain things. So the cards are very important to this story because of the end part. That's the part I don't think we should spoil, because that's the part that's like the big hook of the show.
I agree.
But I think each card has something specifically written on it. Now, the funny thing is that I did read that out of the 600 shows he did, only once did someone pick "I am a racist."
Interesting.
Right? I mean, surprising that anybody would pick that, but somebody actually picked it out.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. The funny thing is when we watched it all at one time. I know a lot of people like you, the first time they watched it, stopped it. I have another friend who stopped it at the same point you did, and I was like, I think the last half is the best half.
Yeah.
So I recommend watching it all at once. But I think I said to you, I cried. Just warning. And I think after you watched it, I'm like, did you cry? You're like, wept like a baby. So know that going into it, you might want some tissue with you.
Yeah, it's definitely an emotional piece of stage art.
Mm-hmm.
I guess is the best way I can put it, right?
Mm-hmm.
I
mean, like I said, I think it was a lot of different things. He entertained you with some magic. Talks about how he got into that as a kid and why. But then it's the magic, it's the storytelling, and definitely the engaging with the audience.
Yes.
Did you notice any celebrities in the audience?
So I noticed Tim Gunn.
Mm-hmm, he was prominent.
Bill Gates.
Mm-hmm.
Which was, I was like, holy shit, like, that's kind of a big deal if Bill Gates is coming to your little, like.
I from what I hear, this stage show was quite popular, especially in New York. So I'm sure, you know, word gets around with the celebrity crowd.
Gotcha. And then I think I saw David Blaine.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's one like performance artist, Maria, I forget her last name, she's the one where he basically goes up to her and whispers what her card says.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So there was her.
I actually recognized W. Kamau Bell, because he was sitting like two seats away from the guy who volunteers to come back to the next show.
Oh really?
Yeah. So every show he asks somebody before the end, hey, who wants to volunteer to come back? Tells them what their homework, and then kicks them out of the show so they don't get to experience the whole thing. It's kind of great. But so the guy they picked for the main show that we were watching, I was like, hey, that's W. Kamau Bell sitting right next to him. But what I didn't notice was on the other side of the aisle, a few rows back, was Susan Sarandon.
Oh, shit, really?
Mm-hmm.
That's funny. So, yeah, he kicks that one person out. He gives them basically like a ship's log, right? So it's a ship's log of the show. He tells a story about the actual book that is ships back in the day used to have the captain write, you know, things in. So basically he's got a ship's log of his show that from day one he's been giving to someone. So he kind of rolls the dice that this person's actually going to come back the next day with this book. And writing in the book how that person feels the show is going to end.
Yeah.
which is intriguing because of the fact that obviously this person doesn't see the end of the show until they come back the next day. So they literally have no idea how this kind of show will end. And honestly, in watching it, I had no idea how the hell this thing would end.
Yeah. Right?
You know, what, it's not until he gets to that one specific part where I'm like, okay, holy shit, how's he doing this?
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty cool. Kate McKinnon was there. Brian Henson and his wife. Ronan Farrow, John Lovett. Apparently, when he saw Chris, when he... when he saw Chris Blaine, or when he saw David Blaine in the audience, he said something to him. He said like my brother or something like that.
Oh yeah,
he didn't guess his card. He didn't specifically guess what his card said, but he said my brother.
Yeah,
I think it was all just magician thing.
Magician thing, and then there was the his mom ends up being in the performance that we watched the majority of, who he ends up coming up and hugging, which you know. It's very touching.
Yeah, super cool, super interesting. Not something that I probably would have picked on, you know, clicked on to watch.
Nope.
Had somebody not told me to.
Yeah, it's interesting because you see the art of the image of the art of the whatever this is, the movie, the documentary, whatever, and you're just like, all right, I have no idea what this is. And honestly, if it was on Hulu and I would have seen, you know, would have seen that card. I would have just gone past it. I'm like, all right, I don't understand what this is. Even when you sent it to me, I went and read, you know, the description of it. And I'm like, okay, I have no fucking idea what this is.
What is that?
I think I was watching something else. And I'm like, as soon as I'm done watching this, I'll get to that. And then the only reason why I stopped it is because it was basically the middle of the night at that point. I'm like, all right, I need to sleep. I need to catch the rest of this tomorrow.
Yeah, that's the thing, too. If you're watching in the middle of the night, you know, because it's a lot of storytelling, so you could lull. Like, Josh did start to lull, he said, in the middle, too. But, like I said, watch it awake.
Yes.
And watch it at one time. I mean, all at one time. Like I said, I think I'm going to go watch it again.
Yeah.
Just because. What would you have picked as your card, do you think, if you could pick anything?
You know, I thought about this a lot in both times that I watched it. And trying to figure out if I had to define myself with one card. You know, it's funny because over the years that would have changed, right? And as we evolve as people, you know, things. At one point I would have said, you know, I don't know. You know, there would have been the time in my life where I would have said, I am a rebel. Or, you know, I am, you know. I don't know. I made a list in my head of the ones that I thought it would be, but the one that instantly came to mind to explain me now would be more, I am a father.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of went with that one because, you know, Little Home Slice is everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I went with that one. Well, if you had to pick a card, like what do you think you would have picked?
I don't know if it necessarily would have been up there, but it's one that I've kind of gone with in the last 20 years or so in describing myself, and mostly it's because it's a warning. But it's, I'm loud.
I am loud, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if
mm-hmm.
there's anything that hasn't changed with you in over 20 years, I should say, is that part.
Mm-hmm. I tell people I don't have an indoor voice.
No, I can't control the volume of my voice.
yeah.
So it's interesting because once he's done with the I don't want to call it the cliffhanger, but the big like coup de grace at the end there, is when they start rolling the credits and we go back to the brick.
Mm-hmm.
So watch through the credits because it's fascinating that the gold brick that he tells the story of about his mom ends up kind of showing up at the end, so to speak.
Yeah, yeah. I think if there's anything you've learned over the years, it's to stick through the credits in movies.
Stick
or at least fast forward. I'm going to make sure you're not missing anything.
Right.
Oh, well, shit, a picture popped up.
And you know, back when we used to go to movies, that would annoy people that I would go to the movies with, because I'm like, dude, I don't know if there's anything at the end of this thing. I'm sitting through the credits.
Dude, Ferris Bueller. Not dead.
You're still here?
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Wait. On that note, we'll wrap up this one, because the point in sticking to one subject now was keeping it short and sweet.
So, to summarize, would you recommend this? I think we're both kind of in the same boat that we would completely recommend this. And to sit... Okay, so we recommend it. Try to watch it in one viewing. And do as they tell you at the beginning of the show to silence your phone. Don't pick up your phone.
We did the same thing. We just turned it upside down and...
Yes.
Turn to silent.
So I did the exact same thing. I'm like, because rare is it that like something tells you when you're at home, hey, put your phone away. You know, like when you go to a theater, they tell you put that shit away. Don't look at that shit. So I thought, okay, I'm going to abide and I'm going to put that away. And luckily I did, because, you know, when you're watching something and you're on your phone, you tend to miss something.
And, or if it even lights up, it's going to grab your attention.
Right. So put the phone either in silent or do not disturb and put it somewhere else and just... For once in the whole goddamn pandemic, put your phone down and just kind of sit there and watch this thing. And, you know, if you have an opinion, you know, we'll put up the header on Instagram. And if you have any opinions or if you enjoyed it, you know, just let us know.
Yep. Once we decide on what we're going to watch next week, maybe we'll let you know on the gram earlier in case you want to watch it before we talk about it.
Yes.
So maybe we'll talk about more. Hey, what I was going to say was this. We'll do a rating system.
Okay.
Out of four air horns, how many bam, 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 bams do you give it?
Oh, okay. So I'm going to give it a blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, I totally agree. Same. Bam, 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 bam from me.
It's definitely an experience that you should watch at least once.
Yep.
Nobody that I've told to watch it and has watched it has said, okay, that was fuck that thing. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So yeah, watch it and let us know what you think.
And hit us up on the gram and let us know what we should watch next. Here's some of the things we were discussing. Both of these are on Prime, I think. There's a movie called Booksmart that came out a while ago with Beanie Feldstein, who is Jonah Hill's younger sister.
Okay.
And it's her and her friend who are like straight A students since like final year of high school. I almost feel like it's like Super Bad, but with girls.
Okay.
But with nerdy girls. And I know Beanie Feldstein got a lot of notoriety and roles from this movie. Okay. And the other one was with Awkwafina called Farewell, where it's kind of a drama comedy or dark comedy, because her Korean grandmother's dying, so the family's deciding to get together so they can all see her for the last time, but they're not telling her she's dying. They're telling her they're all getting together for a wedding, and apparently this is a thing in an Asian culture.
Oh, shit.
And Awkwafina got some award recognition for this last year, too. So.
Okay. All right,
so anyway, those are on our radars. If we come up with something else this week, we'll come up with it by what, like Tuesday, let's say?
Tuesday, Wednesday at the latest. We'll put up something on Instagram and let you know what we're watching. And then that way, if you want to watch it, great. And if not, then you'll be surprised next weekend.
There you go. All right. So X and Chiba's Goody Squad movie reviews.